Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Rick Stroud covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the Tampa Bay Times at NFL Stroud on Twitter. Hey, Rick, man, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Let us know what kind of player the Titans are getting in general terms with this new wide receiver.
Listen, he's a 10 on a character scale. He's a guy that was a make it guy out of Clemson, was signed out of a tryout camp by the Bucs, and you know, just has worked his butt off physically and in learning the game. Sure-handed receiver, slot receiver, a guy that can play special teams, can return punts, very reliable in fielding punts, and just you know, I think he's going to be a great addition for any team, but certainly for the Titans and for a guy like Marcus Mariota, who you know will have a different type of receiver that can sort of work, you know, inside out and be really one of the most reliable third down backs, I think, you know, in the NFC.
Something the Titans certainly lacked last year. Rick, is he just a slot guy?
I think he's primarily a slot guy. He does not go out of the numbers much unless he's coming in motion for a receiver screen. But he, you know, whether they would try to use him that way, I don't really know. I don't think you have to. You know, a lot of teams are going with three receivers, you know, 60-70% of the time.
Yep.
You know, certainly Adam is a guy that can stay on the field. He has good endurance, and but I'm not sure you want to put him outside the hash marks simply because he's not the tallest receiver in the world, and he's probably not going to run by a lot of guys. But his ability to run routes and stem routes and get open and find the soft spot in zones and just catch the football, especially on third down, is really good.
Rick, appreciate you taking the time to join us today. It was interesting reading some of your coverage of this. He was discovered basically by John Robinson and the Bucs scouting staff as an undrafted guy. So there's a great history there between he and the Titans' current general manager.
There really is. And I think John will tell you, you know, having seen him, you know, from the beginning, that he knows just how far Adam has come. I mean, look, last year, for example, Adam was supposed to be or started out the season as their fourth receiver. I mean, they had Mike Evans, of course, who's an established player. Chris Godwin was going to be their number two, or DeSean Jackson was their number two. Chris Godwin was really ahead of Adam in the depth chart for the first 3 or 4 weeks. Adam didn't get much play, but he didn't complain. He returned kicks. He did what he could. I think he only had one or two catches a game the first 4 weeks, and he still ended up with a career-high 76 catches and 5 touchdowns. He got in the end zone quite a bit. So, you know, I think that, you know, he is the ultimate team guy. He is a quarterback's best friend. He's going to work after practice. Him and Marcus will get on the same page quickly. Jameis is going to miss them because he was a guy that he could really count on. And I think Marcus will be, you know, will find him to be that sort of guy too.
You wrote about how the Bucs have basically won the last few off seasons, and maybe they were willing to not do that this year as far as their team direction. The ultimate deal he gets from the Titans, 4 years, $36 million, obviously too rich for what the Bucs valued him as. Even with DeSean Jackson, probably they knew he was on the way out the door too. I found that curious.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, I think, you know, a year ago, Adam wanted $8 million a year before he became, you know, giving it to his free agent year. And they thought that was too rich, again, because DeSean Jackson was the number two and Chris Godwin, the second round pick, was emerging as a star. So, you know, everybody has a value they place on guys. And, you know, when they exceed it, then you have to make decisions. But, you know, the Bucs offense, was pretty good a year ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll still do some things with their tight ends, with O.J. Howard, with Cameron Brate, and they may draft a receiver. You know, it's just how much – it's an allocation system. They're up against the cap, and how much do you spend at the wide receiver position when Mike Evans is making $20 million next year?
Wow.
So, you know, that's all part of it. I don't think it has anything to do with Adam. I think they liked him a lot, but, and they did make him an offer from what I understand, but he was able to do better. And, you know, sometimes you lose good players.
Obviously, the Titans are going to have a decision to make on Marcus Mariota after this season. You guys certainly have a similar thing you're covering with Jameis Winston, same draft class, 1 and 2. Those guys will be linked together forever. What do you think this season in the future holds for Jameis down there?
Well, this is the referendum season. I mean, they went and got, you know, the so-called quarterback whisperer in Bruce Arians, a guy that's had Ben Roethlisberger and, you know, Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck and Carson Palmer. And so, you know, this is his last best chance. I mean, I think last year was certainly screwed up because of his 3-game suspension. And he came back. He tried to compete with the numbers that Ryan Fitzpatrick had put up. You know, just a lot of things went wrong for Jameis and have gone wrong for him. He hasn't won enough games and hasn't gotten his team to the playoffs, just one winning season. So, you know, they're going to give it every shot as they have done in Tennessee. This is Jameis's third head coach as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to find these guys. And when you have a number one or number two overall draft pick invested, you want to ride it out as long as you can and just make sure you've done everything.
You would think through 4 years that we would know that these guys are long-term dudes or not. And it's weird that they're kind of in the same situation. But Marcus Mariota, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And the fan base is completely divided on whether or not he's going to be the long-term answer. It is kind of funny that their careers have mirrored each other to some extent. I'm curious, Tampa Bay fan, what do they think about Jameis Winston long-term?
I think they're split. I think it's any place you don't win, it's very similar. We were up in Tennessee last year, you know, in training camp and the joint workouts and the game, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always going to be parallels. And until, you know, Marcus has been in some playoff games, they've made the postseason. I think that helps. He played well when he got there. But, you know, look, there's 12 teams that like their quarterback every year, right? And they're the ones that made the postseason. And then everybody else is looking to upgrade. So I just think that's the reality. You know, at some point you have to win. And, you know, but when those guys are drafted that high, usually it's because they're going to really bad football teams. And, you know, the Bucs offense last year was good. Their defense allowed 29 points a game. Well, what quarterback is going to start the game saying, I got to score 30 to have a chance? You know, so it is a team sport. And you know, you have to look at it that way sometimes. But I do think that, you know, it's such a tough league. And I know in the NFC South, for example, you know, all Jameis Winston has to do is outperform Drew Brees, Cam Newton, and Matt Ryan twice a year for each team. Right. That's you know, think about the experience that those guys have on him, and better football teams to boot. So, you know, it's difficult to win. That's why, you know, Tom Brady has won 6 of them, right? And he's going to play until he's 55 years old, I guess. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's the nature of the position. Some of these guys really come into their own and really start to, you know, to hit it when they're in their 30s. I mean, Nick Foles just got, what, $50 million guaranteed, and yet, you know, he was a pedestrian quarterback until he got great postseason success in Philadelphia. I mean, you can't really explain this all the time, but I'm with you. I mean, I think that greatness shows up pretty quickly. And Jameis has done some great things, but he hasn't done enough of them on or off the field. And so they're right where the Titans are. You're right. These two quarterbacks will be linked forever. And I thought they both would be good players, but you know what? Sometimes you have to be in the right situation for that to happen.
You mentioned the training camp sessions with Tampa Bay coming to town for a few days. It evidently came down to the Titans and the Patriots. I wonder if the Titans won because Adam went out honky-tonking or something and fell in love with the city. It's like, I'm going to go play there.
Well, I don't know. I didn't tell you. That's not really his style. Now in the offseason, I'll tell you, him and Cam Brayton and Ryan Griffin were roommates for a long time, and they did very well on the town in Tampa. So Adam will be a popular guy if he's not married, and I don't know that he is or isn't at this point. But the point is, I think it came down to money. You know, New England's one of those teams where They will say, you want to come win a world championship and catch passes from Tom Brady, but it's going to cost you $3 million a year, you know? So I think, you know, he looked at the situation. I'm sure he made the best decision for himself financially. And, you know, from a football standpoint, there might be a comfortability with John Robinson there as GM, you know, and Nashville might be not that far from, you know, where he's from in South Carolina. So, you know, all of that, whether he wants to go be part of that New England hype machine or not, I don't know. I mean, you know, guys, this is the first time when I talked to Adam about it, he said, you know, it's really the first time since really college, and even in college it was, I guess, a foregone conclusion he was going to Clemson, that he's had a chance to look around and sort of be that recruit, if you will. So I know he was excited about that, and Nashville is a great place to live. It's not unlike Tampa, and it's a small, big city, and certainly, you know, maybe he does love country music, but I think at the end of the day, if I know Adam, it's because he believed in the people that were up there, and is also smart enough to know that this game is not guaranteed to play very long.
Well, Rick, we appreciate the time, man. Yes, thanks for the background on Titans' new future receiver, Rick Stroud at NFL Stroud. Thank you, Rick.
You bet. Take care.